This is Christine Anhalt Deppies. Today is November 4th, 2016. I am a student at UW-Madison. Today I am interviewing Joshua Hersel and Benjamin Steffi. The interview is taking place at the 2016 SAF National Convention in Madison, Wisconsin at the Monona Terrace Convention Center. The interview is sponsored by the Society of American Foresters and the University of Wisconsin Oral History Program and is part of the SAF Oral History Project. And I'm going to ask you to both say your name and spell your last name for the recording, if you don't mind.
Okay, it's Josh Hersel, H-E-R-S-L.
Benjamin Steffi, S-T-E-P-H-E-Y.
Thank you very much. So the first set of questions are just to kind of get some background on your career, and then we have some questions about diversity and inclusion that we'll lead into. So to start off with, could you tell me the story of how you became a forester?
Well, I spent 10 years in the United States Army, and when I was getting out, I had the educational benefits, so I was just looking for something that would get me outside and be interesting. And I didn't really know a lot about forestry, but Penn State Mount Alto has a forest technology program. It's near where I'm from. So I went there, and this is my last semester in the program before I go up to the main campus for Penn State to finish my bachelor's degree. So the more I learned about it, I came to really like it, and that's how I ended up there, I guess.
Yeah. How about you, Ben?
Okay, I also was in the military for about 10 years. When I got out, I decided I was going to go back home to Waynesboro, which is about 10 minutes from Penn State Mount Alto. I was looking for something pretty challenging. Mount Alto has it listed that it's about a 65% pass rate between students dropping out and the challenging coursework. I wanted something that was going to take me outside. I didn't want an office job. I figured that was a good approach. Seemed challenging. So I went and pretty much then enrolled in the school.
Great. So we heard a little bit about where you started off, and maybe you could tell me a little bit more about your career as a forester, some of the jobs that you've had, and how you got to where you are now. And I just want to say for the recording that Josh is going to start us out here.
Okay, well, I honestly haven't really started my career as a forester yet. I'm still a student, so the jobs that I've had in plant healthcare and forestry, I worked at Penn State's Fruit Research Extension for one summer. So they test efficacy of various treatments for fruit tree diseases, and it's in the heart of apple country in Pennsylvania. So Biglerville, Adams County area. It's just apple orchards everywhere, and Penn State has that resource right there. So I did that last summer, and this past summer I was a forest technician for the Mount Alto Arboretum. So I inventoried it's the forestry school at Mount Alto was started, I think, in 1903. So they have a lot of older, interesting trees in the Arboretum that old forestry professors planted and everything. Mm-hmm. It's about roughly 1,000 different specimens. Mm-hmm. So I spent the summer inventorying and cataloging that. And I've also went to Costa Rica this summer for a it's not really career, but did some work with stilt root palm tree plantations and how peccary, their pig, wild pigs eating the roots affects regeneration under that.
Wow, that's really interesting. So do you have a sense then of where you want to go in the future?
From what I've learned in school so far, I've become really interested in policy because I feel like large-scale change happens with policy. So I kind of see myself after I finish the bachelor's degree program at Penn State going on to get a master's of public administration and maybe working for state, federal government, or even like an NGO, kind of trying to affect change, mm-hmm. not really like managing land as a forester, but kind of pushing for like sound laws that kind of conserve forests.
Thanks. I'll put the same question to you.
All right, so I'm still a student.
And this is Ben speaking.
Okay, so again, I'm still a student as well. I did graduate from the Forest Technology Program back in 2015, and right now I'm working on a bachelor's that focuses on business and ethics in forestry. But every summer I have done an internship geared towards forestry. For the first two summers, I did mainly arboriculture, landscaping, did a plant healthcare technician, assisted with diagnosing, addressing disease insects, pruning, tree removals, things of this nature. Mm-hmm. Last summer, I was a forest technician for DNR out of Maryland, out of their Clear Spring office, and was part of a watershed management program over different watersheds. And in all, we inventoried about 8,000 to 9,000 acres, somewhere around there. And it was wildlife management areas that, you know, a lot of people have never really went into inventory. So it's something new, but, you know, just collecting the data so the management plan could be written up for it.
Mm-hmm. So. And Ben, do you have a sense of where you want to head once you're finished with school?
Well, that's where, that's what we've been trying to do through these internships, is to try to figure out what route maybe I want to take, whether it's urban, traditional. It's a difficult answer, or a difficult question to answer, but I think that I'm leaning more towards the arboriculture side, or maybe trying to go into urban forestry, something along those lines. Still like traditional forestry aspect, just I think there's a little bit of room for growth, I guess you could say.
Sure. So. Okay, thanks. The next question is about how you have been involved, or how you've been involved with the Society of American Foresters. Maybe we can start off with Josh.
Okay. Well, I joined our student chapter at Penn State Mount Alto. I had the opportunity to attend the Allegheny regional meeting last year, participated in the Quiz Bowl.
Fun.
So, just through our campus chapter, we do Oak Road cleanup. So there's a road that goes up a mountain. People like to dump deer carcasses and toilets and all kinds of crazy things. So we do that. We do an Every Day is Arbor Day cleanup each semester on campus. So that's really neat because a lot of alumni, we have a lot of alumni that are involved in arboriculture. So we have guys from different companies come back with, you know, all their resources like bucket trucks and prune a lot of trees on campus and do a lot of stuff for the Arboretum. So we do that each semester. And then obviously here at the convention this year, this is my first national convention.
Okay.
And Ben and I are presenting a poster and a talk about veterans in forest technology programs, so the SAF accredited 2-year programs, and how it's like very relevant to veterans. It's kind of almost mirrors like the way we trained in the military with like just hands-on applied learning, and how it's a really good fit for veterans considering where to take their educational benefits when they're getting out.
Do you see yourself being continued to being involved with SAF going forward? Do you have interest in continuing to be engaged?
Definitely, because I think, like I said earlier, I'm really interested in policy, and SAF's a really strong advocate for sound forest policies.
Great.
Yes.
Thanks. Ben, what about you? How have you been engaged with SAF so far?
Well, I hate to just say that's what he said. but I mean, it pretty much is. So I became a member back in 2013, 14. And I've renewed membership every time. Go to the same, you know, meetings that he discussed earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I went to the convention in Salt Lake City a few years back. That was my first exposure to a national convention. And, you know, being a member, you get the magazine, you know, you get all the good things about it. You know, and it's an additional resource. So it's another learning tool. Just like this conference here is, it's an additional resource. A lot of the talks are pertinent to, you know, specific subjects. So, you know, in that aspect alone, and being able to come and network, having the connections that you have, not only at school, but then through conventions such as this, is quite a platform to have. And it gives you quite a reach. So do I plan on continuing? Yes, I would hope that whatever job I find would be willing to, you know, fund, or if they didn't fund, allow me to fund myself to come to such conventions as this. If anything else, just for a learning tool, because there's new information, you know, relevant to forestry in several ways.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Great. So I want to kind of move into some of the questions about your specific perspective. This project, this oral history project, was developed to understand people's perceptions of diversity and inclusion in the forestry profession. So to start off with, how has your particular background influenced your career as a forester? I think you started to speak some about that, about the match between your background and the type of learning that you're doing right now. If you want to start us off, Josh.
Well, the military, like, I was an infantryman, so most of my time was outside, like, hands-on doing things, and forestry, what I've done so far is the same way. And I also, like, I've done some study abroad things, like I mentioned Costa Rica earlier, but I also went to India last year, and we went to the Sedhana Forest. It's like a reforestation project.
Mm.
So it was really neat to go there, and it's kind of like volunteers. So I think there was one person that might have had a, like, he was a plant biology background, but he wasn't really a forester. So I was able to look up a lot of things and help out with that. So I think as far as diversity, just it's a good fit for veterans. I know that. And if you look all over the world, there's forests everywhere. So, you know, like, different people use forests. So I thought that was really neat, having the chance to travel to different countries mm-hmm. and just see how they do it there.
Mm-hmm. Are there other things that you think, you know, you talked about the hands-on nature that makes it a good fit for veterans. Are there other things that you think make it a particularly good fit for the forestry profession?
I think just the being outside, and a lot of work that you do as a forester, it's kind of independent. Also, like, you're going out small teams or by yourself, like inventorying, doing things like that. So it just gives you a chance to, like, work. I'm kind of trying to think of how Ben might be able to explain it a little better.
Sure.
But
yeah. Well, I think what he's trying to say in part is, with the forestry profession overall, you're continuing to serve. As a veteran, you once served a country. And I think that plays a role in it as well, to continue to do something that's going to benefit not only yourself but others and give you a sense of fulfillment, if you will. And, you know, I think that plays a large role. He said about, you know, the program itself being a good fit. I mean, it's very structured. And one thing that I've learned throughout school is, you know, the forest is diverse. Anywhere you go, completely diverse. And although you do everything right, every application possible, you still might not be able to get your desired results. You know, it's something that you continue to develop as far as how could I manage this or how could I manage that. So it's an ongoing process. It's not a one solution solves all. I mean, that's kind of why we're still here, you know, coming
mm-hmm.
to the convention, right?
Mm-hmm.
You find a new avenue to take, or a new approach, something that wasn't thought of, or maybe is now being further developed or being researched.
So is that attractive to you about the forestry
to
profession?
To me, it is, because it's not just a one and done. I mean, if it was that easy, everybody would do it, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of different, you know, things to take into consideration. It's just, it's more than just the trees, right? It's the environment, it's the soil, it's, you know, maybe climate change is affecting things, you know. A lot of things to take into consideration, drought. So, you know, you have all these things coming together, and, you know, it just might not work in your favor. That's just how it goes.
Sure.
But, you know, I think that's why a lot of people continue to stay involved in this this profession, is because it is challenging, and they're trying to, you know, make it better for future generations, right? We're trying to provide for, you know, more than just ourselves, so.
We can talk a little bit maybe more broadly about diversity and inclusion. Could you tell me your thoughts about diversity and inclusion in the forestry profession, maybe a little bit more broadly, what diversity means to you? Start with
in the forest, or like as a workforce, or like what
in the forestry profession.
Okay.
This is Josh.
Okay.
Sorry.
So what it means to me is, we come from a pretty homogeneous area, like, you know, central Pennsylvania, rural, so everyone's white, and I guess as far as like inclusion in our specific area and campus, there's a lot of veterans, so that kind of brings like a new perspective to, you know, the learning environment there, with like older students like Ben has two kids. Older students have had a lot of experience, and also just like a different view of the world. Like, we've kind of seen like other countries, we've worked with like a whole diverse group of people. So maybe giving the traditional age students, we bring a different perspective to kind of share with them and maybe broaden their view of things a little bit. And also, I guess, like, internationally, the profession, like, meeting people that manage land in other countries, are not necessarily foresters, but just natural resources managers and everything, I think that's really interesting. Like, we can learn a lot from people from, like, way different backgrounds than us, and there's a lot of indigenous, like, you know, just local practices, like the agroforestry stuff I saw in Costa Rica, that it's kind of like they've just been doing it that way and it works. Not necessarily like, it, you know, there wasn't like a bunch of studies published about it. It's just the way they learned living on the land there. So I think that kind of like diversity, inclusion, like, we have a lot to learn from people outside of the United States and different communities.
Would you say that in general you feel like the forestry profession is welcoming to new ideas or new perspectives like you're talking about here?
I think definitely, especially like going back to what Ben said, sometimes you try everything and nothing works. So, I mean, if you just look around here, there's tons of new ideas and new research being presented. So I think it's very welcoming to new ideas. And, you know, it's a science, so you're constantly exploring new ways, like, to do things better.
I want to touch back on, you're talking about veterans and older students. Do you feel like the profession has been welcoming to that particular that group that you kind of belong to, or?
Yes, and part of our project, we contacted all the SAF-accredited two-year schools, and almost every school has veterans. I think like about 10% of forestry, from what we've figured with our data, 10% of forest technology students are veterans. So compared to other fields, I think that's a huge percentage. So I think they're very welcoming, and also we have a lot of the skills, just like being outside, being in the field, being able to work, that kind of makes us successful in these programs. So my experience so far is like people are very receptive to veterans, you know, coming into this profession.
Well, and just like to build off what he just said, when we originally did our abstract to submit a poster, that's when we were contacted if we would be willing to go ahead and give our a flash talk. And they were very receptive. They thought it was a unique idea. And, you know, it's just like it's starting a conversation. That's all it is. You know, maybe get somebody's wheels turned. And when we were given the poster presentation yesterday and we stood up there, you know, a lot of people came by and they were interested in, you know, some ways to reach out to veterans, you know, because they do feel that it is important, I guess. They understand. They could, the poster, you know, pretty much was self-explanatory. It's a structured learning environment. Same with the forestry programs. And they agree that, you know, a lot of these veterans possess these attributes that would transfer, you know, rather nice mm-hmm. into the forestry profession. There's already a history of veterans continuing to serve in natural resource management from dating back to, you know, pre-World War I, post-World War I. So it's always been there. And it's just like a, you know, it's another group to look at to try to identify.
So you felt like the feedback on your poster, and I'm assuming you haven't given your talk quite
yet.
No,
we haven't given the talk yet.
Tomorrow.
But it's been positive, you know, and so although, you know, our professor was the one that kind of harped on us to do it, and that was great, you know, we didn't feel bad about doing it or nothing. It was just one of those things where we'll do it. But to get the, you know, feedback that we've got, I mean, it's been nothing but positive, so mm-hmm. that in itself is good.
That's great. And I'll just add for the recording that that was Ben speaking, which I think kind of leads nicely into the next question, which is thinking specifically about the role that SAF might be able to play in enhancing diversity and inclusion. Do you feel like there's a specific role for SAF and maybe creating a more welcoming environment or attracting more veterans or older students? Josh is going to start us out here.
I think as far as attracting veterans and older students, advertising somehow to the military, like these professions and like what's the path to it, because like a lot of people don't. We had a guy that came to our poster yesterday who was a forester at Fort Drum, New York, and he said he has veterans constantly come up to him and ask, how do I get your job? So some type of advertising, because I know a lot of schools advertise to the military, like there's, you have to do a kind of like a 2-week like transition thing before you get out where you, you know, you learn how to write a resume and all this stuff to prepare you for the, you know, the big bad world outside of the military. So I think a thing like partnering with the Department of Defense or, you know, the different branches and just seeing like how do we get involved in your transition programs to let people know like this is a great fit for veterans and how to actually get the education, find SAF accredited universities, and, you know, work your way up to being a professional forester.
Do you think there's other models that SAF could look at? Like, can you think of other professions that maybe do a particularly good job of recruiting from the military?
I know that, or do you want to take this one? Or I know that a lot of like federal law enforcement and local law enforcement agencies, they're constantly have booths on military bases. So even like Forest Service setting up a booth at like the job, military job fairs, things like that would, that'd probably be a great way. And even an SAF booth, one of those things, just kind of like, this is how you become a forester. Because it's mm-hmm. great to have, well, the Forest Service, but they're not going to hire people without the right degree. So,
just thanks.
Things like that.
Yeah, those are some great ideas. Ben, do you have anything to add to that about the role that SAF might be able to play?
No, I think he hit it with, you know, getting their name out there. You know, because he did say a lot of the federal agencies, I mean, a lot of guys trade one uniform for another. and law enforcement, with us being infantry, I mean, that's a lot of people do go straight into law enforcement. I mean, that's a smooth transition as well. And sometimes you don't even need any schooling. You know, your experience alone is good enough. But I think it'd be important on, you know, how the relationship that you can build with people through SAF, how they can be an additional resource. And if you could sell that fact, I mean, not everything's about money. Mm-hmm. And especially with veterans, it's not just that you're going after the highest paying job. I mean, if that was the case, I would definitely be looking into something else. So it kind of circles back to that fulfillment. And, you know, if somebody could accurately convey that or put that out there, I think that could play a role. I don't know how else to put it, but it is nice to be able to go outside and do your work outside. It is, especially after you've been in the military and that's what you've done for an extended period of time, is pretty much live in the elements and work in the elements and appreciate the elements. That's what it boils down to. So, yeah, it's just getting the word out there.
Okay. Next question is about where you see the forestry profession going in the next 20 years or the next 100 years, if you can envision where you expect things to head or maybe where you'd like to see things head. We'll start off again with Josh.
I think overall awareness of like climate change and just protecting our environment is kind of, I don't want to say like coming back into fashion, but it's increasing. And I'd like to see maybe our government, like elected officials, take more interest in realizing the benefits that forestry provides, like clean drinking water. Probably number one, that you need a healthy forest for streams and rivers to give us clean drinking water. And also with green building, like Pennsylvania has a huge timber products industry. Like a lot of the students that go to our school come from sawmill families. So I'd like to see that promoted. Like it's okay to use paper. It's okay to use wood for things because it's a renewable resource. So maybe just like government and elected officials kind of promoting that more. And like the benefits that you get from a well-managed forest and a working forest, and also seeing like federal land use is a big issue out west. I know, like maybe getting that message out there that it's okay to manage forests, it's okay to cut timber, it's okay to use this resource as long as you do it responsibly, which is basically what forestry to me is all about. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to see maybe more awareness and. Like working forests are a good thing, kind of.
Educational outreach.
Yes.
Something along those lines.
Do you see diversity and inclusion in the forestry profession playing a role in that at all? In moving the field in a direction that you'd like to see it go to?
Absolutely. Towards? Actually, because America is a very diverse country, and, you know, we all drink water. We all use paper products, so I think even maybe like what I was saying earlier with the, you know, reaching out to veterans, like going into high schools and getting kids from like cities out into the forest, or even learning about tree care and urban forestry, because we need trees. Like I probably stress that enough, but we're a diverse country, so. I think the country's just going to get more diverse as time progresses, so it's important for, I think, everyone. It's America's natural resource, so all Americans should have a vested interest in protecting it, and all the different perspectives, just, like, from diverse, like, different people with different backgrounds will just make it better.
Ben, did you have anything to add to that?
I think it's challenging, only because with diversity you have different, as he mentioned, goals. You know, if the community's goals are different than, you know, I guess another group's goals within that community, I think it poses a lot of problems. And I mean, it's challenging. You know, anything with diversity is challenging. But I think the bottom line is the communities need to work together to achieve that. SAF can be a building block on that. The profession itself can be a building block, but I think with all things, it takes time. But yeah, I mean, obviously diversity is good. It's just when you have different interests coming into play, it does make it difficult. I don't think that's a lie. I think that's, you know, pretty plain to see. So.
Thanks. You know that you're both still kind of in the student stage, but maybe you kind of still have some insight into this with some of the other foresters that you work with. Do you have a sense of how the forestry profession is changing currently, or has changed in the past to get to where it is today?
In what aspect exactly?
You know, I think maybe thinking about this broad theme of diversity and inclusion, but it, you know, it could be other aspects of the profession that you feel have changed.
I'm sure technology has made a huge impact on forestry, like it has probably with every other profession. And I would imagine over time that like more women, more minorities, like our professor that's here with us is brilliant, and she's a woman, knows literally everything there is to know about forestry, and she's kind of like our mentor. So, I mean, I would imagine that it has over the years become more diverse, but I think like maybe that's something I'd be good to see more of, like just pushing into kind of groups that would never consider forestry as a profession.
Yeah. Ben, anything to add to that? I know this question's you know, probably targeted more at people who have been in the forestry profession for a long period of time, so it might be a little bit difficult to respond to a bit.
No, and I think that our experiences are similar with what we've seen with, you know, our professor. And you know, she came up in the ranks, and she said, you know, it was a little harder at first, but with time, obviously, it's gotten better. And I think it will just continue to get better because, you know, you want different aspects. That's the bottom line. You know, we've worked with people from all different races, backgrounds, religions. And, you know, as long as you have a common goal, you know, you can achieve it with everybody's help. That's the bottom line. Has it taken us a while to get to where we are? Yeah, sure. Right? But all with good time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, this is Josh again, but I think with like our military experience, you meet people from every background in not just America, the world, and work with them, and like you kind of have to like get over any differences and just like you learn like people are all basically like everyone's pretty much the same. Like you're worried about your family, you're worried about the same things no matter where you come from. Like diversity really makes, I think, like teams stronger, and like having different perspectives.
Just in this building right now, it's professionals, right?
Yeah.
Professionals aren't gonna look down on diversity. In fact, they want to welcome it. Yeah. It's a diverse, you know, environment that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so pull from everywhere you have.
I think it's just like reaching, like
how to effectively reach out, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know. But
there's kids that like are in high school right now that probably don't even know that this is an option.
Mm-hmm.
So right. I think that's like one of the, I guess, the big things, like getting to them and being like, hey, like, there's this job's awesome.
Well, like, well, that's good because the future is down low, right? I mean, they're in the high schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're coming up in the program. So, you know, how do you get the education out there? And it's not that you're trying to target specific groups. You want the right people. That's what it bottom, you know, boils down to.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these next questions also have to do with, or are again targeted at people who are maybe a little further along in their career. But this question, you know, you kind of spoke to your advisor, your mentor, so maybe she kind of fits in with this question, which is asking about if you can think of a specific person that sort of helped you along the way in your career and what sort of help they've provided you.
Well, definitely Dr. Brantley and Mr. Houghton, he's our program director at Mount Alto. It's such a small program, and I think most of the forest technology programs around the country are pretty small. So, like, they make sure you have a job for the summer. Like, they make sure you come to stuff like this. So, like, both of them definitely kind of like opened up this whole forestry world to me. There's like, you know, you start school and you think like, okay, like I go out and measure trees, but then there's so much more. Mm-hmm. So definitely those two, just our faculty at Mount Alto in general.
That's great. Is there anyone else that you can think of, Ben, or are those same people been important for you, or?
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it. You know, and like you said, they definitely promote you to, you know, find that internship, determine what direction you want to go, what avenue to take. They encourage you to be part of things like this, to get involved, to get your name out there, to go and network. And they really want students to take advantage of the opportunities that they have, like, that are provided, you know, that are open to them. One of the things that they do, like Josh spoke of going abroad, you know, they wanted him to go do that. That's something mm-hmm. different. They've encouraged a lot of our students to come to things like this, to network, to get their resume out there, to go out west. I mean, we're from the East Coast. You know, our nation's pretty big. There's mm-hmm. a lot of places to go. And, you know, our school is small. It's a lot of, you know, homebodies around the area that don't leave home. Mm-hmm. They encourage children to go out there. Hey, go do your thing. Like, experience something new. And I think that's a big part of it too, because, you know, there's jobs everywhere. They spoke about it yesterday. Was it last night?
Yeah.
At the talk, you know, that the job market's pretty nice right now. You know, so don't be afraid of going somewhere else. You know, be open to new things, and that's what they're trying to. That's what they've exposed our students to now. Us being non-traditional students and a little older, like, we understand that concept. Mm-hmm. So. You know, if I was 18 or 19 and I had a professor harping on me to leave, I'd probably go leave and try a few things. And another big part of that is, you know, they're experienced in the profession. And I think that helps because, you know, they've actually been out there and done it. You appreciate that a little bit more, and they're also willing to get their hands dirty with you, do the work with you, so you have a little bit more respect for them. Not taking anything away from professors, but, you know, just summer in class mm-hmm. and some, you know, go out of class, and, you know, they're right there with you. So they've been huge in developing me as a person. It was huge in my transition from military to college, but it was nice to have that. And they have been very influential and helped me out a lot. So
that's great. So you've been talking about some of the advice that you've gotten, and so kind of the last question that I want to conclude with is about what advice you might give to someone who's a brand new student. Are there things that you feel like have been particularly valuable to you when you're just starting off here that you would recommend that other students or new foresters would do?
Yes. So think of it like you're investing all this time in the education, wherever you go. Like, we'll go to an SAF accredited program, first of all, but use your resources that you have there. So, like, you know, take the time, like, volunteer for all the forestry club, like, the SAF, like, chapter at your school. Use your professors, like, talk to them, network, like, because there's so much you can do in this profession that I never even thought. I just liked being outside in like trees, and then kind of like a whole another world opened up for me after learning more about this. So like, use those resources, meet people, and then don't be afraid to, like, I really, you know, going back to college after you not been in a classroom for like 15 years is really intimidating. So you know, just do it. Like, don't be afraid. Usually they've taught another veteran or something, so they understand like how it's a challenge, and you know, just use those resources that are there.
Yeah, great. And that was Josh speaking. Ben, do you have any advice that you'd give to a new student or new forester starting off?
No, I think it's a pretty common sense approach. You know, you're there to gain knowledge, so do what you have to do, be at the right place at the right time. You know, put in the hard work, get it done, and set yourself up for success. That's really why you're there. One thing that they always preach is knowledge is power, but it's responsibility. And, you know, once you learn that information and you have that knowledge, it's also your responsibility to tell others, inform others. And I think that was a key part of advice that I heard about two years ago on a field trip that we took to go look at some silviculture prescriptions. And, yeah, that really stuck with me. But I think it holds truth, so, you know, take what you're doing seriously. I'll be good at the end.
Thanks. So just a few other things that we want to get on the recording, a few demographic questions to finish up, if that's okay. So we'll start off with Josh. If you could tell me what year you were born.
1982.
Okay. What gender do you identify as?
Male.
What is your ethnic, racial, or cultural background?
Caucasian, I guess.
Okay. And I'll pose those same questions to you, Ben. What year were you born?
1985.
What gender do you identify as?
Male.
What is your ethnic, racial, or cultural background?
Caucasian.
Okay. And lastly, is there anything else that you want to add about forestry, SAF, or diversity that we didn't get a chance to cover in the questions?
I'm good. I think we covered everything pretty well.
Ben?
I think we covered it.
Okay. And I'm just going to read this for the record. Thanks for your participation. And that's, I mean that as well, of course. We do have your contact information, and we'll let you know when the interviews are all compiled. And we're happy to send you some recordings of the interview if you're interested as well. So I think you can probably contact Mike for those. He would be able to get you those recordings if you're interested.
Okay.
Okay.